Today's share in the Dershu Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis. We're in the fifth item of Mishnah Berurah, and Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to be finishing off Simin Tof Nun Gimel and starting Tof Nun Dalet. We begin on the very top line. We're in the middle of Siv Ches, on the middle of the Mechaber. And he continues with the second word on the line. V'noagim, he brings down the minhag, that kemach harishon shenitchan acharinikur. Yes, they were talking about how you're supposed to properly clean the millstones to get rid of any potential chometzdika dust from the flour. And therefore, he says, the minhag is that after you've cleaned off the millstone and you start grinding new pesach tikka flour, so after you've cleaned it, acharinikur, don't use that first ground flour to go bake your Pesach dikka stuff. You can keep that. It's not chametz. You can keep it till after Pesach, and then it's not a problem with chomish over the Pesach or any concern with it, but don't use that to make the matzahs. The Mishnah Berurah explains over here in Sivkot and Mem, or alternatively, ochel maso kodem Pesach. You don't have to save it. If you want to eat it before Pesach, you can. Obviously, it's not chometzdik at this point in time, you then make it on your utensils that are chometzdik, it's not a problem. And the rechayim, the millstone here, will still remain in a pesach dikka condition. And the reason behind all of this, vatam b'chozeh, is maybe, shema nis'ariv behem ma'at mima shenidbak b'rechayim. Maybe even if you didn't clean it perfectly as you thought you did, so any flour that's now made, you're not going to use on Pesach, so therefore it's not a problem or a concern at all. Then the Ramah brings down Hagah, Anshe Maisa, men of stature, people that are very diligent in their performance of mitzvos, their custom was regilim lelech bi atzmam el mokom horechayim. They would themselves go to the millstones, liros heim bi atzmam, to see for themselves, l'tchinas kimchayim, to make sure that the grinding of their pesach tikka flour was done in a 100% l'chatchila type of a way. And he brings us then down from the Mordechai. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkot Mem Aleph, they wouldn't rely just upon, quote, a hashgacha. They'd prefer to do this themselves because it's a bigger mitzvah if they do this themselves. Dershu footnote number 50 brings down, and this is true even if you have hashgacha over there in the millstone. So nevertheless, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, Roy shem yelchu lashkiach al tchina sachitim umashma shahashgachosam adifa mishmira sabalim. That even though there are God-fearing good people doing this, says, ideally, do it yourself. Mitzvah bo yosem mishlucho. You don't take any chances whatsoever. What about relying upon the frum owner of the millstone, and he's going to take care of all of this? So then, the Shelus Shuvas Meshav Dova says, if it's a publicly used type of a millstone, then you shouldn't rely just upon the fact that the Balaam say that everything is good over here, because they may not be so well-versed in all the halachas and all the details. And since so many people are using it over here, you can't rely upon this unless the Beis Din is established over there, that's a hashkacha, that there's a Rav HaMachshir over there taking care of everything. And the Shelus Shuvas Meshav Dover adds, Haminog B'din Yosel, the minog in his place was the Beis Din or the Rav Shabair, either the local Vad, HaRabbanim, or the Beis Din or the Rav themselves, would appoint a Mashkiach over there that would make sure that everything was done, Kedas V'chedin. The Mishnah Berurah continues and writes, V'al Koponim, even if you can't go yourself, Roy Laniach B'Rechaim Shomer, at least make sure that there's a Hashkacha, there's a Shomer over there in the millstone area to make sure that everything is done right. And who should this Shomer be? Who should the Mashkiach be? He should be Ish Yorei Shomayim. He should be a God-fearing person. Ubaki b'dinim k'tzas. And he certainly should know a little bit about the dinim of it to make sure that they're not doing something wrong. V'lo amaris. He shouldn't be a plain person, an ignorant person who doesn't know the din, because he's watching, but he won't know what he's watching for. And in this way, you won't even run into any potential concern about chometz in this situation. And certainly, v'chol shekein shelo yoshev katan l'shomer. And you shouldn't put a young child over there. That certainly wouldn't be good. Siv test. The Mechaber writes, Tzarech litcho nachitim yom o yomayim lefnei alisha. As we will see in a moment, this is brought down, and you can see in the Ber Hagola Os Nun, in the Augur, in the name of the Shibolei Alekid, based upon a Yerushalmi, that when they set up over here and they do the grinding of the wheat, you shouldn't go and knead it that day. You should wait a day or two at least before you actually do the kneading of the dough with this flour that you just made. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkot and Membeis, V'yal koponim lina salayla lepachos, at least wait overnight, let the flour, so to say, calm down and cool off from the heat of the grinding, at least overnight. And you can see in the Shaarat Zion, Os Ayin, this is the opinion of the Mogin Avraham and the Yerab and the Graz, as opposed to, not like the opinion of the Chok Yaakov. And then Mishnah Berurah continues, and he says, Vafilu benitchan aide behemos. And even if the grinding over here is done via behemos, and therefore it's not going to generate heat of the person actually grinding it, Kamkein Tzorech Lahamtin. Then you also have to wait as well. Still, don't use this ground flour immediately. Let it at least stay overnight, preferably for a little bit longer, a day or two, in order that you shouldn't have any concerns over here that it's going to be Mehero Lahachmetz. It's going to quickly or more quickly become Chometz. Because the Bozeh Gam Kena Kemach Kam, because even though animals are doing it and not people actually touching it, nevertheless, it still could get a little bit heated up, and therefore it could potentially be chometz. And he says, if you're going to go and sift this so any theoretical pieces of chometz would get sifted out, it doesn't cool off via this, and therefore we're not going to suggest that you use it right away. You should wait a little bit of time. In the Sharat Zion Os Ayin Aleph, he brings down over here, this is true, even if you're using a hand type of a millstone, which isn't going to heat it up really, he brings down, nevertheless, you should be cautious and not do this. The Mechaber concludes and he writes, if you only ground it up in Erev Pesach, then you can't wait overnight. If you want to bake the matzahs for the first Seder, it's now 5 hours from the first Seder. So what should you do? So then in this situation, Yesh Omrim, he brings down an opinion that says, Sha'asu lalush matzah bo bayom. Then don't make the matzah. You have to use something else because there's too much of a concern over here. Lefi shakemach b'shas trina roseach, because at the time of the grinding, it heats up. Umechamim ha'mayim, it's going to heat up the water that you put it into. V'isa noch lachmetz, and it's going to too easily become chometz, and this would be a real problem. Therefore, don't grind on Erev Pesach the flour. Make sure you've ground it up beforehand. The Mishnah Berurah explains the Sivkot Mem Gimel, She'os Lalush, according to this opinion, you shouldn't go and do this at all. However, Vim Avar V'losh, Ein Lesser B'Di'evit. He says, if in fact you went and did grind on Erev Pesach and you have no other flour, you could use this flour B'Di'evit. However, he says, Rak Shish Merenu Heitei Mechimotz, but you'd be extremely careful when you do this not to let it go and sit unattended, unmixing for a long period of time. You should be doing it much more carefully than usual. Dainu Shiasuk Bo Bezrizus Yoser Mibishar Isos. Should be extra careful with the making of these matzahs over here, even more so than you normally would be with regular Shmura Matzah, 18-minute Shmura Matzah. In the Sharat Zion Os Ayin Gimel, he brings down over here that this opinion was the Elyar Rabbah and the Chok Yaakov and the Graz. However, he says, look in the Radvaz, where he disagrees. And if you look in Dirshu footnote number 1, he brings down the Radvaz, and he says, Shekol Chumra Sashiboli Leket. This is what we brought down over here, was all, as I pointed out, from the Ber HaGola, from the Shiboli Aleket, from the Yerushalmi. So he says, it's Eino Elo B'Mekomos Shayu Tochanim Alya Ayidemayim Shevolichim Esorichayim B'Koch Godol V'Akemochim Eschamim. That this type of a concern that you might be heating up the grain is only when they use these water-powered mills, that they had some sort of a really strong grinding process in this situation, and therefore it could heat it up. However, if they were doing it via animals walking around and grinding the millstone, it's not going to get so hot. Albeit before, the Mishnah Berurah had said that even if it's Netchan Ayideh Behemos Tzorech Lahamtin, you should wait as well. Finally, the Radvaz concludes from the Shiboli Aleket, and he says, Shuba Atzmo Bodach Kama Pomim Yedei Shesom Esyodo Benekev Shemimenu Yorid HaKemach V'Hirgish She'en HaKemach Cham Elo Kolshu. He says he himself put his hand in many times to feel the wheat as it's being ground, as it's coming out as flour, and he didn't find it really got very, very hot. And he said, Miyach Yorid L'Sochakli Mispatel L'Sochamimus. He says, and even if there was a little bit of heat over there, as soon as it lands in the bottom of the collecting bag, the heat dissipates. However, as we already brought down, the Sharat Zion brings down over here this idea, maybe you could be makel over here. Shelo lesor se'is, so shim lo sim yad lachat yichin esach kemach, bidi evet. With this, we conclude the beautiful Simen Tov Nun Gimel, and now we can begin Simen Tov Nun Dalet, which deals with the halachos of what is good to make matzah from, and what is not good to make matzah from, to be yotzi the mitzvah of eating matzah on the first night of Pesach. So the Mechaber begins, and he tells us over here, Ein yotzim. One does not fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach, lo bepas subin, velo bepas mursin. One doesn't fulfill this with using subin. Subin would be like the husks of the wheat, velo bepas mursin, and not from matzah that's made out of the bran. Now, this is not whole wheat matzah. We'll see in a moment what whole wheat matzah is. This is when you take the stuff that's not really normally eaten, at least historically, that wasn't the good stuff. This was the husks and the bran. And if you just made matzah from the husks and the bran, which were normally thrown away, so that's not considered bread. That's not considered matzah. And the Mechaber is telling us one should not be yotze, one cannot be yotze, the mitzvah of matzah in that fashion. And this is what the Mishnah Berurah says in Sivkot Aleph. That's not called matzah. That's not called bread. And that's what it says in Yoredeya. The Mehai Taima Peturim Gam Kemi Chala. And therefore, there is no Chiyav of Chala if you were to make a Mazonos. So again, the rest of the year, there's nothing wrong with eating this Pas Subin or Pas Mursun. You can't fulfill it as Lechem. But he says, you wouldn't even be Chayav in Chala. It's not technically bread. The issue footnote number one points out, based upon this, if you were to make bread from this bran or these husks over here, so the Shevet HaLevi, Zatzal, brings down Rav Ozner, Shekivin She'enu Nechshav Lechem L'inyin Chiyav Chala V'Shei Matzah, since it's not considered in regards to the Chiyav of Chala, nor in regards to the Chiyav of Matzah, so Rav Ozner, Zatzal, brings down, you make a shahakol on it. It's not even a mezonos or a amotzi lechem in aretz. It's just like lechem that's made from any other material that's not mezonos. However, he concludes and he says, "Belechem subin hamotzli hayom." Nowadays, the type of bran that we have today has a large percentage of real flour in it, and therefore he says, "Vaday today you don't make a shakol, but today you would make a hamotzi on it if it was bread." And again, this is important for us to understand that when they're referring to their subin and their mursun over here, it's not something that we're really accustomed to eating alone. What exactly are this subin and mursun? So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot and Beis, he tells us the subin, the first opinion is that it's hainu klipa hanosheres menachita b'shas ketisha. This is the husk. This is the shell over here that comes off from the wheat when you grind it. And what is the mursun, the bran? Hainu klipa daka. This is the thin shell hanosheres b'napa achar yitzes akempok. This is what's left behind after you sift the flour. V'yesh b'farshim hivach. Others say it's the exact opposite over here. If you were to put this into water, so those halachas we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, Yivor Lekamen in Simon Tov Samaches of Aleph, and the Mishnah Berurah over there. The issue footnote number two brings down, in Nisharu Binapa Klipos Dako Shmurovus Ben Gam Sherios Kemach. If you have some of this bran left behind over here with some flour, and in fact, they actually grind this again in order to make what they call kemach sheni. So Rav Ozner Zatzal writes in the Shevet HaLevi, Shembol Ishtamish Bahen Kemo Shein Below L'Tochanon. If you want to use this residual stuff that's up on the top of the sifter over here without it having been ground the second time, Vadai Shadinon Kisubin, the Efshol Lasos Mian Matzah. That's definitely called Subin, and you can't go and use that for matzah. However, he says, Im Tochanos Oshenis, if you did grind it a second time, V'choz of an Iposon, and then you sifted it, U'bol U'shtamish B'kemach Hasheni, Levado, Belota Rav Subin, and now you're going to go and use the flour that comes out without the Subin in it, they're still outside on the sifter, then L'chatrila, you could even make matzah with that, even L'chatrila. As long as you're sure that you really have flour in there and not just the Subin. He says, Achim Tochanoson Lo Niposon Shenis, if you didn't sift it the second time, and Achim Muravakemachim Sheris Aklipos, and it's mixed together over here, Yesh Lobal Nefesh Lahachmilatzwo, Lolushtamish Bekemazel Achonis Amatzos. In this situation, better not to use it. If you have choices, use something else. The Mechaber continues and he writes, that was talking about the pure husks or the pure bran itself. However, if you have what we would call whole wheat flour, Avoloshu Esa Isa, if you grind up over here the flour, and you needed it over here, b'subin u'b'mursin sheba v'yotzeba, if you take over here whole wheat grains that you grind up, and now you have this flour, this whole wheat flour, and you need it, and you make matzahs out of that, then you are certainly yotzei. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkot and Gimel, shekein derech ha'ani lecho pita mikemach she'enu menuka. That's exactly what poor people do. If they were to throw away the bran and the husks, they wouldn't have enough flour left to make bread. So therefore, they have whole wheat bread, which in those days was something only very impoverished people had. Today, that's the health craze. People, bedavka, want that. In any event, those days, the poor person would, in fact, normally use whole wheat grain over here and therefore have a little bit more than he would if he had fine flour. And therefore, it was normal for them to go and eat their bread in this fashion that wasn't sifted. And therefore, they mitzvah from gamkin l'shir kizayis matzah. And therefore, it can fulfill the obligation to have a kizayis matzah on the first night. The issue footnote number three brings down, he says, in this situation, don't you have to be concerned that maybe some of it didn't actually get kneaded and it's going to become chametz? So the Elie Rabbah writes, we don't need to be concerned about this. From the Shulchan Aruch, it's clear that we're not concerned about this. And you can just bake these matzos over here from kemach she'enu menupa, and we don't concern ourselves that maybe there are some pieces that didn't get baked properly and now they're chametz. And Rav Ozner Zatzal, the Shevet HaLevi, adds over here that while I disagree with Elie Rabbah's reasoning and I can show that that's not correct, la'halacha, the Elie Rabbah is correct. The Mishnah Berurah continues and he writes, this true v'davko im lo hifrisha mimena, this whole wheat grain over here is perfectly fine as long as you didn't separate it. But if you did separate and now you put it back, I will mifrisha mimena, and then v'chazer ve'ervin, for whatever the reason, you then put the bran and the husk back in to the flour, l'socha kemach, v'losha biyachad, and now you go and knead it, ein mitzvah from l'shir kizayis, that won't be enough for you to be yotzi the kizayis. There's your footnote number 5 brings down. If you have enough of a kizayis of the fine flour there, you would still be able to be yotzi in this situation. And he points out, if when you took out the bran and the husk, it was with the intention that you would put it back afterwards, so then it's a machlokes. He's not sure if this would be mitzdarif or not. Maybe you could say that since it was intended to be brought back, you are, in fact, never having halachically removed it, but he's left over here with a tzorich iyun. In the Shaar HaTzion, Oz Gimel, he brings down that this opinion that we just said is the opinion of the Chok Yaakov. And it's also the opinion from the Rebbeinu Manoach and the Vilna Gaon, the Pri Chodesh and the Graz, but not like the opinion of the Magen Avraham, who's not sure if this is correct. Why is the Magen Avraham not sure that this is correct, and maybe you could use it if you put it back? So in Dirshu foot number 4, he brings down, because in regards to the Chiyav of Chala, in Shulchan Aruch and Yaradei, it says that if you separate out the Subin and the Morrison, the husks of bran are taken out, and then you put them back in, you're not Yotzi for the Shear of Chala. Now, the Magen Avraham says, if that's true over there, that should probably be true over here as well. But the Sefer Mikroi Kodesh brings down, there's a difference between the two dinim, the din of challah and the din of matzah. In regards to the din of challah, kishe nifrad amur somea kemach pakol mimenu chovas challah, as soon as you remove the bran and the husk, so the bran and the husk no longer have a chiyuv of challah on them. And therefore, when you put them back in, you're adding stuff that doesn't have a chiyuv of challah to stuff that does have a chiyuv of challah, the pure flour that was there. However, in our situation of the matzah, because over here, the whole wheat grain flour over here that you made into a bread is called bread. And therefore, when you separate out the mursun and then you put it back in, so then it's still called bread. It's not that it's no longer called bread. In regards to the challah, it's no longer a chiv of challah. But here, you still would make hamotzi on it. It's a bread. And therefore, the Magen Avraham was in stopping Shema Yotze Bo Yidei Chovetz Matzah. He said, maybe you still could be Yotze according to the Magen Avraham. Albeit, the other poskim disagreed, as we already pointed out. There's another reason as well in this footnote for the Magen Avraham Shita, Ayin Shom, and the rest of the Yerusha footnote number 4. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Dalet says that the halacha would be the same. The same halacha would apply if the grain had been eaten by various sorts of worms or caterpillars or things like that. One could use such grain for the mitzvah of matzah. Mechaber continues in and he writes, V'yotzi b'matzah misolis nikia b'yoser, a person is allowed to use very, very, very finely sifted flour. That's also okay. And we don't say, V'ein omrim ein zilechemoni. And we don't say, that's not the poor man's bread. That's not the bread that an oni would use. So therefore, you can't b'yotze with matzah with something that's not lechemoni. So the Mechaber tells us, no, you can. Finally, the Ramah says, Hagah, V'tov l'chatchilo shelo lasos ha-matzah rechov yos bidai. One l'chatchilo should not make the matzah very, very wide, very, very large. The heavy kashisha, because then it's something that's like a big piece. Ashisha, as we'll see, is a gluska yofa, a gluska gedola. And he brings this down from the Marivayel. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Hay tells us, the heavy kashisha, v'gmara amrin, and the Gemara says, lechem oni prat la-shisha. It has to be lechem oni and not a very, very large piece of dough called an ashisha, which is peirush gelusko gedola, a large piece. The issue footnote number 6 tells us, hainu shegedola biorka uberachva, it's very wide and very long. Now, it's not talking about very thick. To make a thick matzah ova, we're going to learn in Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tav Samach that one shouldn't make very thick matzos. And nowadays, all matzahs are very thin. Again, there are Sephardic communities that make thick matzahs still, and that's not our custom in Ashkenazi communities. The reason why we don't make such thick matzos is because we're concerned that if you make a very thick dough, that the inner part may not get fully baked, and therefore there'll be chametz inside. Furthermore, he says, if it started off with a very large matzah, and then it became, you broke it afterwards, is that good? So he says, no, it's still called a large matzah, and he brings various rayas for that as well. Finally, the Bir Halacha over here brings down that it's muchach over here from this din, that this is only a din that is l'chatchila, you shouldn't make large matzahs, but b'dievet, it would be good. He has a long arichas over here to explain this opinion, and he concludes at the end, and he says, "Ein l'hachmir b'chol gavni b'dievet, apilu l'lechem godomot." If it starts off as a very large matzah, so you shouldn't have done this l'chatchila, but after the fact, that would be acceptable. With this, we conclude today's shir.